My mom took care of me full time. The marriage got off to a bad start and never recovered, and by age 4, my parents divorced. Growing up, I lived with my mom during the school year, but I saw my dad on most weekends and during the summers. While I've always known that my parents loved me, as a young boy, I became aware of more than a few family secrets, each of which had a significant impact on my life. While I've completely forgiven my father and do not blame him for any of my sin, as far back as I can remember, my dad used illegal drugs in front of me. I have always known the smell of marijuana, and I was very curious why my dad liked it so much. At age 6, I also found his stash of pornography around the house. When I became old enough to understand the implications of all this, I was really ashamed of my father, but I also began carrying around feelings of guilt, shame, and personal unworthiness. My mother and I attended church, but she wasn't a true believer in Jesus Christ. We basically thought it was the right thing to do. She had grown up in the church. When I was 8 years old, I made a public profession of my faith in Christ. I was baptized and memorized John 16. So I started playing the church game. So although I made this profession, I really didn't understand my commitment, and my faith never grew and developed. School life came easy for me. I was pretty popular, and I excelled in athletics and academics. I had lots of friends, but without a relationship with Christ, my life was unfulfilled, and I began looking for good times in all the wrong places. By the end of middle school, my friends and I began drinking alcohol. Most of the older kids that we looked up to were doing the same thing. I found in alcohol a self-confidence that I otherwise did not have. I enjoyed the brief escape from my feelings of unworthiness, and with an alcohol buzz, I was uninhibited. And it was also about this time that I discovered pornography and started acting out with it. As I moved into high school, my drinking became an every weekend event. I dropped out of athletics and focused on dating girls and having fun. I rationalized that my life was in order since I was making good grades and was on my way to college. Having no spiritual boundaries, I believed that the good life was found in indulgence and partying. By my senior year, I was smoking marijuana occasionally and experimenting with ecstasy and cocaine. I loved the confident euphoria that I experienced under the influence, but the high lasted only a few hours, and I was left longing to do it again. I started college at LSU in 1990 as a pre-med major. There, I joined a fraternity and began drinking 3 and 4 nights per week. I missed most of my classes, but I never missed a party. I naively thought I could juggle my academic responsibilities with this party lifestyle, but my medical school plans took a serious blow that first semester when I earned a 1.0 grade average. My parents allowed me to return to school in the spring, where my grades improved, but my alcohol and drug problems worsened. I survived another 2 years at LSU, but at the end of my third year, I found myself addicted to cocaine, alcohol, and pornography, and involved in an unhealthy romantic relationship. It was at this low point that my mom made me return home to live with her and continue college at LSU in Shreveport, Louisiana. While away at LSU, my mother had become a Christian. She was overjoyed with her new life, and she frequently told me how Christ had transformed her life and had given her a peace, joy, and contentment that she had been searching for her whole life. I wanted to believe her, but the idea just seemed so far-fetched. Moving back in my mom in 93 was a trying time for both of us, and unfortunately, things got worse before they got better. I continued partying pretty hard and staying out all night, generally being irresponsible, but she never gave up on me. In 1995, I had come to the end of my rope. I sincerely wanted to stop doing drugs and partying, but I couldn't, and inside, I was miserable. Upon confiding in Mom that I was empty and hurting inside, she gave me her Bible study notes on the book of John and challenged me to read through them and to pray for God to reveal himself to me. Since nothing else had been working for me, I decided to give it a try. I went to my college library, found a solitary place, and began to pray for God to show me that he was real. I confessed that my life was a mess and that I wanted to know him. His words were captivating. No, as I read the book of John, the words of Jesus came to life. I felt like he was talking directly to me. His words were captivating, and I had a hard time putting my Bible down. I went home and continued reading for several days, finishing John and moving on through the Gospels. Somewhere through this process, I became convinced that God was real, and I accepted His forgiveness for all of my sin. I fell in love with Jesus and began to experience a new life with Christ. Immediately after accepting Christ, I discovered this peace that my mom had been telling me about. I lost my appetite for the drugs and alcohol and pornography, and I could feel God changing me from the inside out. It was my final year of college, and for the first time I had the discipline to study hard and make good grades. I read the Bible daily, memorized scripture, attended church, and grew in my knowledge of God. I shared my faith with Amy, my girlfriend of several years, and she began going to church with me and eventually accepted Christ. However, I quickly learned that old habits die hard. Most of my close friends were not Christians, and they didn't understand nor care about my conversion. While I wanted them all to change with me, that didn't happen. I tried to remain loyal to both them and Christ, but was unsuccessful. I would avoid the party scene for extended periods, and I tried my hardest to remain pure, but I would eventually succumb to the allure of a good time with the boys. I would often embarrass myself or Amy while intoxicated, talking about how great Jesus was and how He had changed my life. The next day, I would awaken, appalled, and worried that God wouldn't take me back. Amy and I were married in 1998, and our first year of marriage was really sweet, but after a while I began to notice that Amy wasn't the perfect woman that I thought she was. In reality, she is a beautiful, talented woman. She's sitting back there on the third row. She's funny, creative, and loyal, and I'm very lucky that she loves me and agreed to marry me. Our strengths and weaknesses are complementary, but I was blinded by a very selfish and critical eye. And became obsessed with her character defects. My attitude towards her became bitter when she wouldn't at least try to fix herself, knowing how badly I wanted her to. I began to believe that I had made a mistake and had married the wrong woman. Intimacy suffered in our relationship, and I began retreating to masturbation and pornography to satisfy my frustration with the marriage. I had confessed to Amy that I occasionally stumbled with porn, but she did not know how big of an issue it had become in my life. With pornography, I could enter a fantasy world with the perfect woman, and I didn't have to deal with any of the relational issues. Sadly, my view of sex became increasingly distorted to the point that I had no desire for my beautiful wife. I knew what I was doing was wrong, and I hated myself for it, but I found myself powerless over my compulsion. It was about this time that I was unfaithful to Amy. She was out of town on business one weekend, and after a night of heavy drinking, I engaged in a one-night stand. I vowed never to tell a soul, including Amy, for fear of what might happen. I thought I had no choice but to bury the issue, and I tried my best to move forward under this dark secret. Amy and I continued to get along fairly well, but our intimacy was compromised. Our marriage looked fine from the outside, but inside we were struggling mightily. I was sad because I wasn't growing in my faith. I was a worldly Christian, and I felt like if I made it to heaven, it would be by the skin of my teeth. I always failed in my efforts to please God and to clean up my act. We moved into Dallas in 2005 and began attending Watermark. We'd had our first daughter in 2003. We were intrigued by the authenticity of the church, and we sought counseling from the Watermark Marriage Ministry. They suggested we try Celebrate Recovery, and after attending CR for the first time, I knew that I was in the right place. I was tired of living a double life. I wanted to shine some light on my past and receive complete healing from years of my sinful living. I also wanted to love Amy unconditionally, and I knew that she deserved that. So this brings us to Lesson 14, which is based on Step 6 and is entitled Ready. At this point in the program, we have worked through the first five steps, most recently completing our inventories and sharing it with both God and someone we trust. Now, step six brings us to the point where we are entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. So tonight, we're going to explore what it means to be entirely ready. Of course, this is Celebrate Recovery, so there's an acrostic to dig into. The R in the acrostic stands for Release Control. We must stop hiding our sin and trying to fix ourselves and begin trusting God to do what He says He will do. We can all attest that our best efforts to fix ourselves have not worked, and that's why we're here. Philippians 2:13 says, God is working in you, giving you the desire and power to do what pleases Him. Our job is to release control and let God do His work. This is not easy to do and only happens moment by moment and day by day as we stay in contact with God and trust Him with our lives. Releasing control for me began early on in the CR program when I was asked to lead this large group in the 12 steps one evening. I knew I'd have to introduce myself as a believer who struggled with alcohol, drugs, and pornography, and I was terrified of admitting that publicly. I had been hiding my sin for years, but that night was a huge turning point for me as I mustered up the courage to trust God completely with what He already knew about me. It was the beginning of my humbly asking Him to remove my character defects and laying aside my pride. E stands for easy does it. The point here is that these are not quick fixes. You need to allow time for God to work in your life. These character defects were formed over many years for lots of us, so don't expect the change to occur overnight. I recall during my first walk through the steps at being frustrated because I thought we were moving too slowly through the modules. I wanted to hurry up and finish the book so I could get on with my life. In addition, I became frustrated when I relapsed with pornography and alcohol. I had made a lot of progress by this step, and it was hard when I found myself still falling prey to temptation. But the good news was that I used those failures to confess my sin to Amy and to my small group on many occasions, and what I found was that over time the temptations became less and less tempting. A stands for accept the change. When we begin to allow God to change us, we start walking in unfamiliar territory. God is asking us to make certain changes in our lifestyles that are uncomfortable and scary, and it's very tempting to want to return to what feels comfortable. For me, one of the hardest things to accept was that God was asking me to separate myself from my old buddies. They were the only friends I had, and I enjoyed the relationships that I had with them. But clearly, I was doing a lot of damage to myself while hanging out with them. In Mark chapter 29, Jesus says, "No one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father for me in the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age and in the age to come eternal life." So what God really is asking us to do is to just be obedient one step at a time. Accept the change. D stands for do replace your character defects. You've spent a lot of time with your old hang-ups, compulsions, and habits. And when God removes one, you need to replace it with something positive. There are obviously lots of positive activities that you can adopt, but I strongly suggest replacing your bad habits with activities that get your mind off yourself. If you think about it, sin is usually a result of selfish behavior. Philippians 2, 3, and 4 says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others." Service here at Celebrate Recovery is a great first step. After I finished the steps for the first time, I stayed plugged in to the ministry as a small group leader. But it wasn't until the second time through the steps that God revealed to me that I needed to confess my unfaithfulness to Amy. Until then, I had justified that I would just keep it hidden from her because I had been praying to God for forgiveness and also that the event was just a one-time incident and wasn't a relationship. But it seemed like every week I would hear the story here at CR of a wayward husband who had confessed to his wife and had found healing in his marriage. One gentleman in my small group had recently confessed to his wife and his marriage was healing. My quiet time with God had become stale, and every time I opened my Bible, I knew that God was asking me to confess. So I did. And Amy was devastated. I hurt her badly, and it's been almost 2 years now, and I think the wounds are still healing. God has demonstrated His faithfulness, however, and I can say tonight that our relationship is on the right path. Through this healing process, I've seen Amy's spiritual walk begin to blossom, and her faith is now stronger than ever. God also revealed that Amy and I needed to address and seek forgiveness for two abortions that we had together before we were married. This is a whole other story unto itself, but I will tell you that through addressing these abortions together in a biblical manner, we've learned without a doubt that God's love for us remains steadfast and that He has completely forgiven us for those trespasses. We know that our two children are in God's presence and that we will meet them someday when all of this life has been reconciled. Y stands for yield to the growth. At first, your old self-doubts and low self-image may tell you that you're not worthy of the growth and progress you're making in the program. This has been very true for me because I struggle with the poor self-image and feelings of unworthiness. But the truth of the matter is that God really is changing us. We are not the same people that we once were. 1 John 3:9 says, "No one who is born of God will continue to sin because God's seed remains in him. He cannot go on sinning because he has been born of God." I still have a long way to go in my recovery, and I don't have all the answers. But through following this program, I know with certainty that God loves me just the way I am, and he is ready and willing to change me as I surrender my will and invite him into my life daily. In closing, I would like to encourage you all with one of my favorite recovery verses, which is found in 1 John 1, verses 5 through 7. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. To me, this is the essence of what recovery is all about. Keeping short accounts with God and those we are in relationship with. Walking with Christ in the light of true fellowship, this is where the healing happens. According to God's Word, He purifies us from our sin as we trust Him and others with the truth about our weaknesses. I encourage you all to get real, let people know who you really are and what you're struggling with. Thanks for letting me share.